See, what has not been achieved as yet need not be that it will never be achieved. That's one. Aspiration has grown in man. That's why I said the sign of Satyug will not be suddenly an ideal king. The sign of Satyug, that's why we have the idea of Narayana. See, this word Narayana is very fascinating. Normally we think a being who is sleeping on the waters. They are different kind of. But Nar Narayana, he who dwells in all human beings. So Narayana is also a collective ideal. When all human beings awaken to the divine reality within and manifest, that's the fullness of the Narayana. So there is the original picture and there is the manifestation. Like when we solve a puzzle. So I agree that it has not yet happened. But the fact that there is a collective growing within man of this aspiration. See, man with all the on one side a materialistic ideal that there is nothing deeper, on the other side a mokshavadi ideal that you have to quit. Despite all that, man has continued to dream, and he not only dreams, he's an incorrigible dreamer. Even the mokshavadis, those who call this world an illusion, they still want life to be beautiful and perfect. In fact, why they want to withdraw, I've often asked people that, why are you? Is a look at life. So basically, it's because they believe at some level that life cannot be made perfect and beautiful. Now, deep inside, there is still the urge for perfection. So this urge itself is a sign that it will be fulfilled. All avatars have been a preparation. The whole parable of avatars can be seen that way. Avatars, of course, one is the classical Dashavatar, then there is the 24 avatars described in the Bhagavat, and if you read Shiv Purana, the avatars of Shiva. So we can take avatar, one in a very specific sense and other in a very general sense. So I take it in a general sense, like you spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely used to be overtaken by not just Sri Krishna, but Krishna and Radha. His beauty is that he combines the two. And Radha's that intensity of love, yes, the body couldn't bear. And that's how he plunged into the sea at one point of time. So there is Mirabai, she couldn't bear it. She fused with the image of Sri Krishna. Swami Ramalingam in the southern part, if you read his story, that grace light, he could almost experience some degree of transformation. The mother confirmed it, but then his body vanished. It just couldn't take that. So there have been attempts. Now all these attempts imply an intuition of a possibility. So there is this intuition of a possibility, and we carry that flame inside us. And what has not happened, but yet the soul in us aspires, so it will happen one day. That's how I look at it. Not going into what happened to the avatars and why they couldn't do it. We need not even go into that. They have created a way to the extent that they were meant to do, or to the extent humanity allowed them. I can look at it like that. Well, Sri Krishna's story is very significant. Not going into Shurbindu and the mother, because that's a amazing chapter, but that I have spoken now. But just see Sri Krishna's story. He came to teach that human beings can be normal and yet full of delight and freedom. They can live freely and with ananda. If you look at Sri Krishna in Vrindavan and Brij, that's immediately it strikes you that you can live normally. You don't have to be a sannyasi withdrawn into solitude. You are a regular guy, to put it in modern language, and yet you can be free inwardly. And in delight, he broke all parameters that human beings carry within themselves. Such a pure love, such an intensity, ananda in everything that he did. So much so that when he is taming the serpent, look at the ananda. Normally, if a modern writer had to describe this story, you read Harry Potter or any other, taming the serpent, or Perseus, Medusa and serpent-headed, he'll describe in such a way that you'll feel, oh my God, he's missing it, he's going to be bit. Look at how Sri Krishna does it with what an ease. He just goes down, says, give me my ball. And the serpent says, don't you know who I am? He says, I'll tell you who I am. He's not dancing on the serpent. And that's an image of Krishna. Of course, the story has a deep symbolic meaning. The five-headed serpent is the Panch Prana. He has mastered all the pranas inside and he's dancing over their head. He's not their slave. So the serpent says, okay, since you are master of prana, he pollutes that. That's a very interesting. All stories of Krishna are very fascinatingly symbolic. So, but he has mastered. It's like he's dancing. Where is this? What kind of delight? Even when he goes to kill Kansa, when he plays with Chanur and Mustik, you don't feel that he is having a duel of, what is it, WWF, or W, whatever it is. It's not a wrestling match, he is playing, he is enjoying. All his stories, you will feel that there is a delight in normal, in extraordinary ease, like a perfection he displays. But is man ready? No. So what happens? What does man return to Shri Krishna? The Mahabharata. That's the gift human beings give to him. He came to teach freedom and delight. So he withdraws. Not only Mahabharata, his own kul. Somebody was asking, why did he drown Dwarka? I said, was anybody ready to? Dwarka is not made of ordinary elements. It's made of the divine elements. And nobody is ready. Yeah, so it had to be drowned, but that connects with Sri Aurobindo. He comes back knowing what really is missing, the base of truth. You can't have divine love, divine ananda and divine freedom unless there is a base of truth. That's what Sri Aurobindo speaks in Savitri, that we are doing, taking on Krishna's work further. So the base of truth is supermind, the truth consciousness. Without this base of truth, we'll dance in the name of Krishna. But that's, we all know, that's very different from Krishna's dance in Vrindavan. We can create imitations of spirituality or Krishna, but original Krishna is Krishna. When he dances, there is mastery and ease. Not one single twitch of the vital, even while he is right there in the midst of everything. So that's why he withdraws. But since I have spoken of the story of Dwarka, I often end up saying that, well, that Dwarka he brought out, he drowned in the western coast, and bear with me, he brought it out on the eastern coast, and that name is Auroville. So it's the Dwarka made of extraordinary elements. It's very challenging. But this time he wants that humanity should be ready. This Dwarka is now for people from all over the world, because that was the original plan. So that Dwarka is a dream he has sown in the heart of man. Like Sri Rama sowed the dream of Ramarajya. But to realize it, man has to go through. So Sri Aurobindo's work is, he has now brought down that truth as a base. Obviously, mankind collectively, there is still a long way. I completely agree that one has to walk the way. And we have two choices. Either we walk the way through, or we abandon the aspiration. But the soul, which is once, it's like, it's not once bitten, twice shy. It's once bitten, you want that again and again. Yeah, so this is told in the story of, you know, once you are bitten by Vasuki, the world serpent, you have to end up with Shiva's feet. You can't. So once the aspiration has woken up, it's the one fire which cannot die. And this is the proof and the guarantee. And today's children come up with that. So yes, it has not happened fully so far, but it will happen because we continue to aspire. Yeah, yes.
Another, this is from Shiva, some path point of view. Like, we dismiss that good and bad is, that's all life is. We don't talk about that. Neither some heaven, like Vaikuntha, like individual. Some are being there in some perfect world, individually limited. And neither, as we're speaking here, of withdrawal into featureless existence, isolated without the manifestation of awareness or participation. But there is a path, and even Christianity some, that they see that even though you may manifest the divinity to some fullness, you still have to resume the totality, because you are the totality originally. You can as individualized for a time, and again you have to resume the totality, and that means in the totality Ishwar and everything,
yes,
you will be. So even that then is on the path kind of way.
Yes, see, I'll just touch upon one by one these points. That when you assume the totality, what happens to the individuality? They coexist. So I know this one way we can talk about Visishtadvaita, but Visishtadvaita still talks about ultimately collapse. Now, this totality and individuality coexist is shown beautifully in Sri Krishna's Vishwarup. Sri Krishna, the individual, does not vanish. There is the cosmic and there is beyond the cosmic. So, the transcendent, cosmic and the individual, they coexist. That's what Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, or the immanent divine, the cosmic divine and the transcendent. So, they all coexist. It doesn't annul. And there are beautiful examples that, you know, Sri Aurobindo gives. Like, now if I become a world citizen, now trend is towards that. Does it mean that I forget my nation and nationality? They coexist. They are together. They can be harmonized beautifully. Like Mother said, you know, I'm a French by birth and education, but I'm an Indian by temperament and choice. And she says, in my consciousness, there is no antagonism between the two. So individual cannot really manifest the fullness of the divine unless he recovered the totality, absolutely. But having recovered the totality, he need not annul himself, then the whole purpose is lost. So he does it. Second, with regard to featureless and annulment, these are stages. As I said, a child consciousness cannot understand that, well, what the teacher is telling me is not a punishment. So it is a perception that humanity at a level has. The earliest connection with God, earliest, most primitive, is through fear. It's very unfortunate. But well, an average primitive humanity wakes up only through fear. It's an extreme, what's going to happen after I die? What may happen? Oh, my deed. So there is that reward, punishment, and still valid for many. See, you tell a person that, well, God is beyond good and evil. Oh, okay. Oh, that there was a movie, Ux. Koi marta nahi, marta nahi. Nobody kills, nobody is killed. I can do. So that's why it's the same thing like the teaching, Aham Brahmasmi. Give it to the unchaste and he will lose his head. I have actually had a patient who came and told me, I don't need any treatment. I said, that's wonderful. Your son has got you, but you know. But I said, by the way, you don't need treatment, is fine. But he said, I am supreme. So, but I knew that it's a delusion because, you know, it was not an authentic realization. But if somebody authentic realization is beyond good and evil, Krishna is beyond good and evil, and all these divine beings we hear about, their stories are beyond. But there is a stage when we have fear, and fear is initially the first motivator. But as we grow in consciousness, the relation of fear with the divine ultimately changes into love of the divine. And so this is the great transition one has to make from the religious thing about fear and toward the divine. Third thing about what you said, beautifully brought out, Christianity, other religions also, it is there. People often tell me about psychic transformation. Read some of these prayers of St. Augustine and some of them. They are so flushed with psychic element, you know, bhakti. People have not read. But if you read some of the Christian mystics, early Christian mystics, especially when it was still a Judeo-Christianity, okay, there is that beautiful mystic element. And you can see that many of these prayers are expressions of the soul state. They may not use the word psychic. It's okay. We should not be bound by words. So this is there. Human beings have aspired. All these are like the great steps woven. That's how we can understand the entire history of mankind. Rather than creating divisions, this religion, that religion. In every religion, this aspiration is there. Of course, India has a special place because India has been a hub of all these experiments in extreme. On one side, featureless. On the other side, Mayavad. Then Leela, all this. So that way India has a very special place. It doesn't mean that all that has been tried elsewhere is a meaningless thing. Each has its own place in the totality towards which we are seeking. So beauty of Sri Aurobindo is does not cancel anything. His is not a cancel culture. His is an integrating element that he brings, takes everything and integrates it to something which is left incomplete. So to each one in his own way, he shows that, look here, fine, but there is something you need to complete. And that something which completes everything is independent of all religions. And that something is free of all fear of hell and heaven. The psychic being is never afraid of hell and heaven. Even in hell, it says, if thou hast placed me here, these mystics have said so beautifully that even in hell, if it is you who is there and you are with me, Why should I fear hell? So a mystic never fears hell, heaven, all these things. Whether they are there or not is a different story. That can be another subject, that there are many dimensions of existence. There is Vaikuntha, there is Kailash, all this exists. But the thing is that man's work is here. That's why our souls have come here. So we should never forget the earth. Yeah.
I'm going to follow up this, because this comes as a consequence. Like originally, the very kind of, I'm not sure originally, but there's a very idea that there's a same, like an energy, it returns, and it's a kind of a same amount of energy. But this way, as you're saying that, then it's like a Vaishnavism. They accept that the Vaikuntha is growing constantly.
Yes.
Which means that there is a growth of energy manifestation constantly. If we take it as a consequence that...
Well, even the...
End, yeah. As an individual. You have a beginning as an individual, but not end. Is that what you're saying, in a way?
This is even material science, you know. The universe is an open-ended system.
Yeah. And so it keeps growing. Yeah. And in that sense, then, there has to be, as a consequence, created more and more divine worlds. As a consequence of that, there is a creation of divine
worlds increasing constantly. Yes, yes, I get that point. So, first of all, regarding this open-ended system. So, open-ended means there is no fixed amount of energy, which, you know. So, if you look at the universe, there is a positive entropy, you know. It's there in every, even human beings, we evolve, grow, and as a universe, it's one of the mind-boggling questions. What is the universe expanding into? Where is it expanding into? So, these are one aspect of it, that it's an open-ended system. So, we don't know what is the amount. So, scientists try to answer, we don't know what is the amount of energy in the beginning. They don't want to use the word infinite, because understandable, because infinite is a mind-boggling term. It's a concept like zero. They are non-existent realities, mathematical truths, but we use it because we don't understand something. So zero, infinite, we use these terms. And it explains, it fills a gap in our understanding. But we don't know. So this one part of it, that yes, universe is growing, everything is growing. Now comes the second part, then everything should be more and more divine. Very interesting. But first, even before that, if it is growing, does the collapse ever take place? Because Hindu thought also speaks about the cycles. So there are several ages, pralaya. Even individually, there is life, death, rebirth. So this is an inevitable process of the growth. So death is not the end, pralaya is not the end. Let's take this example. Two examples we can take. One is of the, you know, Thomas Alva Edison, when he discovered the bulb, he failed number of times. Any scientist, actually, most of them. I mean, Madame Marie Curie, Madame Curie life, so many times you fail and then you discover. And then he was asked that so many times you failed. He said, no, it was so many steps procedure. So even when something collapses, not all is destroyed. So we can take it like if you make a bridge or anything for that matter, children will learn with, you know, building blocks. So you fail. So you remove that because you have failed. You have, you know, the puzzle you have not been able to solve. You have put a wrong piece somewhere. At some point you probably say, no, I'll start again. But is everything lost? No, only forms are lost. You have learned, grown. So always there is a growth in terms of the knowledge aspect, not in terms of manifestation. Is there a sign of that? Now, very interestingly, Sri Aurobindo speaks of, you know, there was a movie also, Planet of the Apes, like that, picked up this thought. Sri Aurobindo speaks in the Synthesis of Yoga that the way suddenly we see humanity has recovered many things. Is it an original thing or has it recovered from some lost past? So there is a way we can understand that there were things we had achieved in the previous cycles. Why did it collapse? It collapsed because everything was not ready. So the forms get broken, but something gets transmitted. And that's the same thing in rebirth, that the body gets broken, but something grows. That's how the growth takes place. So what is the sign that there are divine beings? I think this room itself, you will have sign and many other signs. Honestly speaking, 50 years back, and I take this example, I know children nowadays, you know, 12-year, 15-year-old children, 10-year-old children who are so much awake. Their questions are so beautiful. You are the sign. She's the sign. All of us are the sign at this age. I mean, we should be enjoying doing some party Saturday night. We are all divine beings in the making. Of course, we have not created a hullabaloo, not worn a choga robe and, you know, gone around dancing so people won't recognize. But who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
After this Puri is chant. Okay, after this Puri.
Back in this, you know, because Sri Aurobindo says, and Mother says that you create something, destroy, create, destroy, create, destroy. But the time comes when it's pretty perfect, like you don't need to destroy it anymore.
Yes.
So this is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
When we reach certain perfection, you don't need to be.
This is
dissolution and the cycle. You remain.
That's yes. So this is
spiritual world. They say, according to Vaishnavas too, that it's permanent. It doesn't go through cycle of interruption like a pralaya and.
Yes, I understand.
So in that sense, I mean, there will be divine worlds constantly increasing.
Both are true. No, I'll explain to you that. So both are true. So, of course, Sri Aurobindo speaks of it as the seventh creation, both Sri Aurobindo and the mother, and in Shakti Kumbh where she had come, so we had this. So, this is the creation which is not supposed to be destroyed, even if you go to the tradition of the, you know, 14 Manus and this being the seventh creation. But when it is said it is destroyed, this question was asked to Sri Aurobindo, is everything destroyed? That is called Mahapralaya, that doesn't take place. But Pralaya doesn't mean everything is destroyed completely in toto. It's not like a nuclear holocaust, which it's like the previous ice age where I'm forgetting, was it the previous one or the whether it was fifth or sixth, where you had the volcanic eruption in Indonesia. So 6 days or 7 days, the sun was, it was completely covered and just about 5,000 human beings survived. So everything is never destroyed in that sense. So, but there is a large chunk of, so number of, if you take the number of divine beings, that may be illusory, but the growth of divinity, that would be more a correct way. So, for example, one person qualifies for the PhD, I mean, who does it, though number of people have started. So, not many people have reached PhD, but even that one person, if you see, it's not number, but in terms of quality, there is an achievement. So, that's what if you look at, you. But nowadays, even if you see the numbers, I personally feel numbers also are many more. People are coming out of, they are really coming out of all the frames and seeking something beyond and higher. But if you see the quality, that also is something very remarkable. Many, if you see number just democratically, well, as you know, there are two ways of looking at numbers. Then, Purvi, I'll come to you. One is LCM and HCF. This is my mathematical understanding. So, least common multiple, well, you know what it means. Highest common factor, you will have few. But that's always the case because the base, from the base you climb up a pyramid, always you'll have few at the top. But these few at the top are now quite significant and very interestingly they are carrying a new aspiration. This is my understanding and my experience, you know, dealing with many.